This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt.
It's not my fault nobody can understand what you're saying.
Sprague.
Well, that was rather fortunate. I think it rather whacked that pretty young wench in the little light-colored dress there.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour, Dirt and Sprague. On a Tuesday, thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. We have somebody advocating to add dodgeball rules. You can hit the base runner with the ball.
Oh.
Just peg outs. You can have peg outs in between the bases.
Dude, what if you had a dodgeball next to the catcher?
Oh.
And on the pass ball,
the catcher
can take the dodgeball.
Okay.
And he has to hit the runner with the dodgeball to get him out.
I actually would be the only way that you could try and tease me with this rule. Tease is the right word, but entice me with this rule change is if you allowed the catcher to peg him out. Just drill him in the back. Boom, he's out.
Look, all seriousness, I see your frustration with the amount of rule changes your game proposes and that people throw out. I get it. I do. I just don't think this one would really happen as often as you think.
You know what they say?
That's my thought.
You know what they say? Slippery slope. If we start here, what's next? Okay.
Well, I don't want to start with a runner on second.
Right?
Not until the 15th inning.
How loose are we getting here, all right? Get your S together, baseball. Come on. What the hell's happening right now? Okay, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Some NFL notes coming up. Somebody took a shot kind of at Russell Wilson. So we'll get to that. And
say, get to the feet already. I've been on the cusp of this for a half hour.
All right, you ready for this? If you ever said something tongue-in-cheek about kissing feet and then it became true, would you do it?
No. I hate feet. So I would never say anything tongue-in-cheek about feet, but
would not be a man of your word and follow through?
No.
No, because I think there's a difference of going, you know, if pigs start flying, I'll kiss someone's foot with cheese on it. And then going, oh my God, someone genetically made one pig fly. It's like, okay, that's dumb.
Go kiss some feet, Brandon.
But if you say, my team's not going to draft this player, I'll eat horse poop.
Right.
It's like, dude, that's dumber thing to say because it's realistic that they could draft him.
It could happen. Well, the reason this is in the news is because this did happen. Somebody did say this a number of years ago, and that man was Shaquille O'Neal. So if you're wondering what he said and why he said he was going to kiss feet, he was doing an interview with ESPN a long, long time ago. This is like post-Lakers run that they went on when they went to four finals in 5 years. Remember, they won three, then they went and lost to Detroit. And he was talking about Phil Jackson, and he said, if there's ever a coach again to take a team to four NBA finals in 5 years, I'll kiss his feet with cheese on it.
Ugh.
He said that. Now, Steve Kerr jokingly tweeted this to Shaq yesterday, said, hey, at Shaq, I'm going to do us both a favor and pretend that David West didn't just send this to me. And to Shaq's credit, he did respond, I guess I'll see you on Fear Factor. Make sure it's Kraft cheese, LOL.
Oh, God.
Excuse me.
Because.
Excuse me.
If you're going to kiss feet, what kind of cheese would you want? 55305. Because we all know Steve Kerr took them to five straight NBA finals.
Yeah.
Will Shaq kiss Steve Kerr's feet? Is he a man of his word?
First, let's examine the offseason for one Stephen Kerr.
Okay.
He's had an interesting one.
Yes.
His team got kind of, dismantled is not the right word, but his team kind of got broken up. He's going to be without his best defensive player until March. He has a young 22, 23-year-old asset, all-star point guard now that he has to incorporate into his team.
Mm-hmm.
He's won three championships. He's been to, as you mentioned, the five straight.
Mm-hmm.
He also wins this bet with Shaq. So Shaq gets to kiss his feet with cheese on it. And in the grand scheme of things, the one he won the most in the offseason, and we didn't even bring this up, is that Nick Young told KNBR that Steve Kerr rolls the best blunts in the NBA.
How about that?
That's How a bit about of a, that upset?
Like, if you would have gone odds of the ability to roll one in the NBA,
he wouldn't have been in my top 10.
No, he wouldn't have been in anybody's top 50 probably in the league. I knew you count coaches and players.
Yeah. I knew he smoked, so maybe if you just went coaches, I'd put him up there.
Sure, coaches make sense, but nah.
He's had a hell of an offseason.
He has. Are we going to see Shaq kiss his feet?
No.
You don't think he's going to do it?
Mm-mm.
He said he's going to do it. He said he'll do it on Fear Factor.
Fear Factor doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, it doesn't exist anymore?
Didn't that stop like 10 years ago when Joe Rogan quit?
I have no clue.
I don't know.
I have no clue.
Does anybody watch
Fear Factor? You don't think the inside the NBA TNT producers
they're going to have something here?
Oh, they're trying.
Trying to figure out how to make this happen.
Now, if you were to have to go through with something like this, you would have to go like Cheese Whiz, right? Wouldn't you? Or would you go like a single cheese, like the fake cheese, and just like how would you apply the cheese?
No, because
what would be the play there?
If you put one single cheese on a foot and you say, I have to kiss the foot, what if you just kiss the cheese? You're
That's
not
what
really
I'm
kissing the foot.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Would you go just a Kraft single there and cover it up and then kiss the cheese? Does that count?
The most cheese I'd allow you to have is the shredded Mexican bag. All over the toes. So there's some cheese, but you're still getting some foot.
There's still a toenail in there.
No Kraft singles, none of that crap. Get that out of here. No Cheese Whiz. That's too slimy. I'll let you do the shredded cheese where you'll get the cheese and the foot.
Now, if you were Steve Kerr, would you allow him to kiss your feet?
Hell yeah.
I thought, so feet are gross, but not if somebody's kissing your feet?
Oh, yeah, because they're my feet.
Okay.
Feet are disgusting.
Okay.
But tell me how funny and random would it be if you walked into Steve Kerr's man cave in 20 years, and he's showing you all his great accolades and pictures and jerseys.
And then there was the day Shaq kissed my feet.
And there's a picture of Shaquille O'Neal on a knee kissing your foot, and that person has no idea what that backstory is. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Why is Shaq kissing your foot?
By the way, speaking of feet news, too, we have to get to this. We need to come up. I like doing this as a show, like Dirt and Spray Court. Let's come up with social punishment for this guy. So there was a viral video. It has now been retweeted, I think, in the last day, over 25,000 times. It has over 120,000 likes. And this came on a flight. What was the? I'm trying to find the airline. But it was a guy who was sitting in one of like the front row flights, like right behind first class. So you know how they have like the wall,
like business class?
Yeah, if that's what they call it. But there's like the wall that covers first class. So in front of his seat is a wall, not another seat.
Gotcha. So it's like an exit row.
Something like that. Yeah, but I think it's one of those first row right behind first class ones. And so there's the TV is not on the headrest of the seat in front of him. It's on the wall, right? Because a lot of the planes have TVs on them now. Well, there was a guy who the video went viral of him with his 2 feet on the wall on each side of the TV. And with 1 foot using his big toe, was scrolling through viewing options on the TV.
Oh.
So he was like scrolling, because you know, they have movies on there and TV channels and stuff you can watch. So he's got no socks, his shoes are off, his bare feet, one of them's on the wall, and then the other foot is scrolling through the viewing options on the airplane TV.
This is...
What's the punishment for this guy?
Well, I don't know. I'll ask you because this is 1,000,000% something you do.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
You know
on.
Damn well.
Hold on.
Your lazy butt would sit in a plane. You'd go, no one's looking right now. And you'd put your sandal and your flip-flop on the ground.
I would never do that. I have limits. Even I have limits.
You clogged a toilet on an airplane. What's your limits?
That was not by choice. Okay. That was an accident.
You regularly fart on purpose on an airplane.
That's true because everybody else is, and I'm not going to be the only one that's uncomfortable.
Okay. So where's your limit?
Using my feet to touch a TV screen.
Oh, foot on a TV screen. No.
That's my limit.
Farting and making everybody smell it. That's okay.
That's my limit.
I'm wanting to fine him $100.
Fine, that's it? Fine him $100?
No, I mean, look, it's disgusting. I'm really grossed out by it. I watched that video twice, and I still can't believe I watched it a second time.
If I was the airline, I'd ban him.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you can just spray some stuff, and it's good. Like a little Windex, and that's clean. It's not like his foot has
Let me put my foot on your phone during the commercial break. Just spray it with Windex.
I don't have any Windex.
You're blacklisted from my airline.
I have no Windex right
just,
now.
Just wipe it down with an alcohol swab.
I've seen how gross your sandals look. They have a permanent foot stain. What's that about? you don't walk on the barefoot all day, and I don't know why your sandals are black.
He said he must walk through the airport barefoot to sit down, suck on his own toes.
Make him walk the coals. Give him a little pathway with hot burning coals. Make him have to walk that.
Sterilize those, sterilize those feet.
That's just so disgusting.
Was this fun feet talk? Did you guys have a good time talking feet?
Feet make me uncomfortable.
Feet make you uncomfortable.
Yeah,
me too.
Now, what if somebody, like, if somebody's giving you a foot massage?
No, hate
really?
It. Don't like it.
Oh, I love a good foot massage.
Nope.
Not in, because usually a foot massage is going to lead to some other lovemaking stuff, and their hands don't get washed. So then their hand, you know, they put a finger in my mouth or something. Now my foot was in my mouth. It's a whole rabbit hole, man. You don't want to get there.
No. We have one of our P1s text in saying he used to work for an airline, and he'd be one of the people that goes on and cleans up the plane afterwards. And he said you would be surprised at how often you would see toenail clippings.
Keep your shoes on. Keep your shoes on the plane.
Now, what about shoes off, socks on?
No.
Is that not applicable either?
No.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
No. I mean, in the sense of don't touch the TV. You can take your shoes off on the plane.
Okay.
I'm flying to...
shoes on. I don't... No.
I'm flying to Vietnam in December. That's a 17-hour plane.
Off.
You're leaving your shoes on for 17 hours.
Take some slippers then, damn it. I don't want to see socks. I want to be exposed.
Slippers are meant to slip off. That's why they're called slippers. You slip in to move.
See?
Get some Uggs.
You don't take your shoes off on a 17-hour flight?
Nope.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one. I wouldn't touch a TV with my foot, but yeah, my shoes will come off.
All right, how do we punish this guy, 55305, the dude who scrolled through his airplane TV with his foot? If you haven't seen the video, I'll find it. We'll tweet it out at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. So if you're on Twitter, you can go check it out if you haven't seen the video yet.
Like, good point here, but this isn't how it works. Like, somebody makes a great point. You guys are acting like the average American hand and fingers isn't unwashed, full of bodily gunk and germy. Goes infinitely more for kids. No doubt. Kids are riddled with germs far more. But humans are disgusting.
They are.
And I do believe hands go as much unwashed as feet, but feet just gross me out more. I can get mentally past hands. Feet? I don't know.
You got issues with feet.
Something. Yeah. I've seen too many people go in a swimming pool and then get out, go to a restroom, and just stand and step right by a urinal and act like nothing just happened there. Like, you just stepped in a puddle of piss.
You did.
We're
that happened.
Act like that's no big deal.
That just happened, yeah. All right, what should the punishment be? We'll get to that. Also, we have some ACC Network stuff coming up in a little bit. But a few NFL notes. One guy took a kind of shot at Russell Wilson. How do we view this? Also, Ezekiel Elliott continuing to ramp up the threats. Are we buying it? That's next on The Fan. By the way, scrolling through the Better You Today text line during the commercial break, apparently Fear Factor is still on. There's a new Fear Factor. So,
what channel?
I don't know. Somebody said Ludacris was recently the host.
Luda. Who knew?
Luda.
Wow.
I still think one of the most random Ludacris things of all time. Like, one of the most random, like, wait, what? Huh? Who? Why?
Him and Fred Claus.
Him as the little the little DJ and Fred Claus.
Well, I found out the reason he did that movie is because that's how he got famous. He was a radio DJ in Atlanta.
Okay.
And he used to do late nights, like midnight to two.
Yeah.
So he'd do his own rap thing, play other rappers. He blew up, yada, yada. He heard about that role, and he wanted to reprise his DJ role. So they were like, okay, we'll take you, Ludacris.
He was like the elf DJ.
Predominantly white movie. Come on in. There's our black elf.
So, yeah, apparently there's a new Fear Factor. I don't know if Ludacris is still hosting it or not. But
he's got to make good money to want to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. You would think. You would hope, at least, if you're doing Fear Factors.
I thought I got canceled when Rogan left.
Yeah, somebody said, thanks, Sprague. I can never look at a bag of shredded Mexican cheese again. You're welcome for that. So we accomplished that in that segment.
There's just going to be a foot in every bag now.
Somebody said, did say Google Shaq's feet. Yeah, Shaq probably has the grossest feet on the planet.
Most NBA guys do.
Like, yeah, if you had to pick feet that were, like, at the bottom of the kissing pecking order, Shaq's feet gotta be near the bottom.
Since I saw the picture of Shaq's toes bent all kinds of wrong ways on TNT, when I go to visitor or Blazer locker rooms, and I'm kind of, I usually try to keep my head down, because, like, I respect your privacy, I don't need to see your junk. I usually kind of end up looking at people's feet. A lot of players, very similar. Like Giannis. Giannis has gross feet.
Does he have gross feet?
Yeah, not good.
I think you're into feet.
No, I hate
secretly in feet.
No.
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 Not happening?
No.
Okay. Check the wife on that one. Somebody said handcuff the bastard for 2 weeks, make him use his feet for everything as the punishment for the screen guy. By the way, this is out on, we put it on Twitter. If you haven't seen it yet, it's gone viral at this point, but at Dirt Sprague, at 1080 The Fan. And then one listener chimed in that they should make him clean the screen with his tongue.
Is that really cleaning it?
How does that help the situation?
Now you have to just take the device
out
of the
plane. What's wrong with
people? So now you can paint that picture in your head if you were looking for something. Hopefully you've all eaten your lunch by now.
Not good.
I apologize if you haven't. So there you go. It was fun talking a little feet stuff for a while. Rex Ryan would have really loved that segment.
Oh, my God. Somebody else, yeah. Another suggestion of how he should clean that screen. To which I'm just wondering, like,
let's go.
Yeah, how does that help it?
This is not helping the situation, people. But I do appreciate the feedback there. Hey, how about this? A little bit of a shot. Golden Tate, he's never one that's afraid to share his opinions on things. Wasn't it rumored that he slept with Russell Wilson's wife?
Yes, that was the rumor before the Super Bowl that he slept with his wife. And that's why
ex-wife,
there was a...
Ex-wife, not Sierra.
Ex-wife, yeah. And that's why there was a fight.
Okay.
Nobody's really confirmed that that was ever true.
One of those random rumors that floated
like
around.
Like Delonte West and LeBron's mom.
Yeah. They take on a life of their own after a while. Well, he was on a radio station in Detroit. So he plays for the Giants now, in case you forgot that, which I did. Golden Tate's a Giant now.
I remember because he was on the market and everybody talked about how big an asset he could be for a winner. And he said, I want to pick the best destination to win. And then he signed with the Giants.
Everybody's like, oh.
And everybody's like, what?
So that's what you cared about. Got it. But he was back because he played for a while, obviously, in Detroit. And he was on a Detroit radio station. And he was asked about Matt Stafford. And he had this to say when asked who the best quarterback he ever played with was. He said, quote, to me, as of now, where I am today, I think Stafford's been the best quarterback I've played with. The guy can flat out play. He's tough. His attitude is amazing. He just wants to ball. For me, I have nothing but praises for him. It's almost unfair that he's such a good player and doesn't have playoffs or a ring to show for it. That kind of hurts my heart that I wasn't able to help change that. When he was asked about, you know, the struggling of winning at a high level, all that kind of stuff, he said, I think over his career, if you put him in another organization, maybe things are different. I don't know, because I've played with some guys over my years that I've won playoff games with that I don't think are as good.
Now, this is pretty simple. One, this is a shot at Russell Wilson.
It's a pretty clear shot at Russ.
You can try to say it isn't. It is, and I think he knows it. But I also don't blame him for giving this answer.
And he was in Philly last year, and I think he played for both guys, right? Didn't he come over to Philly? Wasn't that a trade last year?
Yeah, he played for both teams.
So he played for, but I think he played for Wentz and for Foles, because Foles ended up taking over. So he played with both those quarterbacks as well.
So these were his last 3 years in Seattle. 35 catches, 45 catches, 64. Never over 900 yards. Never 900 yards or more. As soon as he went to Detroit, 99, 144, 128, 99, 90, 91, 92, with 3,000-yard seasons. If you have your best years as a professional in anything, aren't you going to say it's when you did it and who was around you?
Sure.
So I think this is still a shot at Russell Wilson, and I think he knows that. But I also kind of can't blame him for coming to the conclusion, because he's had the best years of his career as a Lion when Matt Stafford was slinging it to him.
Yeah. How much do we agree with his stance on Stafford with a different organization? Because that's always one of those what ifs with quarterbacks. It's just he plays for Detroit. Like, we know what Detroit is. They're the worst one of the worst organizations in all of sports. They've done nothing. They haven't won a playoff game, it feels like, in a century.
Well, but what's the level of team then? Like, if you put him in Tennessee.
Right. How much different are we talking?
If you put him on the LA Chargers, are they getting as far as they've gotten with Phillip Rivers? If you put him in San Francisco and you take Jimmy G out because he's too injured, what's San Francisco expectations? He's a tough guy to figure out.
He is.
I think he's absolutely a stud quarterback, but.
Well, because the other
is
thing,
he on that level of goes to a great team and instantly wins?
The other thing, too, that I think should be pointed out as well, like, it's not to say that everything around him has been perfect, because as I just mentioned, we know what Detroit is. But he had a chunk of his career where he was throwing to Calvin Johnson, maybe one of the most dominant wide receivers we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah.
He had Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line when Ndamukong Suh, yes, was stomping on people's heads, but was dominant Ndamukong Suh, and he became one of the highest paid defensive players in the history of the NFL. Like, they had runs and they had chances and they had multiple playoff appearances. They just didn't win the games.
See, somebody, and I get where this person's coming from. They said Tate played with super young Russell Wilson as they had their first run with that team with Lynch may possibly not be a shot at Russ. And this is why I think it is because of the end there. What's he say at the end of that quote?
He said, I played with some guys over my years that I've won playoff games with that I don't think are as good. Because he was asked why Matt Stafford's never won a playoff game.
That's not a Nick Foles shout out from the Chicago game. That's Russell Wilson because they won a Super Bowl together.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that kind of interesting. I like guys that share their opinion. I think your point is valid, too. Like, if you put up those kind of numbers, you're going to lean that direction. Like, yeah, I love playing with that guy. I was at my best in the NFL when I was with that guy.
He made the most money, and he had the best production of his career with Matt Stafford. I still think he's trying to take a shot at Russ a little bit, but he's also speaking from just his own experience, and that he's had the most success with Matt Stafford.
Yeah, so that is a valid point. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, with Stafford, how close is he to the top 10 to you?
At this point in his career, I don't know. I'd probably put him in the 13 to 15 range. Mm. Maybe people would think I'm not giving him enough respect, but I think about a lot of the young guys who have come up in the league and lapped him a little bit and maybe taken his spot in those conversations. Like the guy, I get it. The organization sucks. He's never won a playoff game.
I know. And where
Marcus Mariota's won a playoff game.
Yeah. He threw a touchdown pass to himself.
He did.
Where I come from though, on this is I use a guy that's obviously better and a generational quarterback. I use Aaron Rodgers. And the reason I use Aaron Rodgers, one, they're in the same division. Two, in a way, Green Bay has not been the greatest run franchise in like 3 years.
No, it has not.
Right? Like, they've had coaching turmoil.
Issues, yep.
They've had front office issues.
Yep.
They haven't been able to go get that talent to put around him. They've had injuries. Guys have left. The Lions are one of the worst run organizations in the history of sports. Until they prove otherwise. But I think Green Bay the last 3 years has not done a lot of great things for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is getting bashed regularly if they don't win a playoff game.
The expectations are much different
if he's not getting to Super Bowl. And I know he's a better player, but that's the Matt Stafford conundrum. It's, well, Aaron Rodgers gets crap and his team doesn't really have much, but Matt Stafford plays in Detroit who doesn't have much, and it's like, well, no big deal.
I'll use a different example, too, and this is why I stick up for some guys like this. Look up the level of criticism the last 3 years for Kirk Cousins as opposed to Matt Stafford.
Oh,
and Kirk Cousins is not an Aaron Rodgers. There shouldn't be that level of expectations.
I don't even think he is a Matt Stafford, and he gets criticized more than Matt Stafford.
Right, and that's always been why I cape up for some guys like that. Like, why do some guys fly under the radar and just get a pass their entire career? Where other guys, like, why would you pay him? Why would you pay him? Did anybody ever say that about Matt Stafford? His winning record, like, when you look up his record against teams with winning records on the road, it blows your mind. Like, in his career, I swear the number's like 3-30 in his career on the road
Stafford?
Against teams with winning records.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if that's what the record was.
It's amazing.
But Kirk Cousins, and this is why it leaves you a little more confused. Cousins was a fourth-round pick. Stafford was a clear number one type pick.
Yeah.
In fact, where did he go in the draft? Was he three?
Wasn't he the number one overall pick?
Maybe
I'm wrong on that.
Whatever. But he is a clear first top five pick.
Right. No, yeah.
And it's like, well, he plays in Detroit. Who cares? Cousins gets drafted in the fourth round to a trash organization in Washington.
He's not even, it's RG3's team. He's not even the starter.
He comes in and it's like, don't give Kirk Cousins any money. He sucks.
Right.
But Matt Stafford, there's just nothing. I've never watched a morning football show, a primetime NFL show. How many NFL shows have you watched in your life where they devoted a segment on saying, how good is Matt Stafford really?
Should you be paying him this amount of money?
Instead, the tease is, coming up next, Kirk Cousins, 84 mil.
Not worth it.
What do we think?
Not worth it. So I found that pretty funny, yeah. So there you go. Golden Tate says that Matt Stafford, the best quarterback he's ever played for. He's played with worse quarterbacks who have won playoff games. Said if he was in a different organization, his career would be different.
He's never won more than 11 games in his career.
Yeah. One other NFL note I wanted to get to. Plus, the ACC network is around the corner, and I want to throw that out. So we'll do both those coming up next. Hey, the Dirty Poll's back and better than ever, baby. We'll get to that coming up. Close out the show. Read some of your responses to it.
He left some teams out, got people upset.
People are not happy. They're debating it. Hashtag content.
It's all over. It's trending number one in America.
It is right now, yeah. Hashtag dirty poll.
ESPNU's running with it right now. This just in, the dirty poll top 25 was released.
Yeah, it's out. They're going to use it instead of the college football playoff poll this year, I heard.
Well, at least we'll get it week one and not have to wait 9 friggin' weeks for it.
Damn right.
Can we move that up, by the way? Does that bother anybody else that they wait 8? I mean, I'm cool with them waiting like a month.
Yeah, what's the fear there? I just have it be fluid week in and week out. Like, what's like? Are you scared about overvaluing a team when they're like 4-0? Like, who cares? Yeah. If they lose and you drop them.
I think that's exactly what it is. They're obviously trying to get a bigger picture than just a game. But like week 4, week 5, we can't just move this up a little bit. That yeah. Week 8, week 9 sometimes is just too much.
Yeah, we got to handle irrelevant polls that don't matter for anything.
But then everybody uses them.
I know they do. Yeah.
Did you see the USA Today one? I think it had Wazoo at 23. I don't know.
Hey, those are coming out soon, I think, right?
Yeah, but
usually around the early August, I feel like is when those polls come out. So I'm sure we'll talk about them when they come out.
Yearly tradition of telling you guys those polls do not matter at all.
They don't. They don't matter at all.
But yet you're putting yours out.
Exactly, because mine matters.
His matters.
My opinion matters.
Have you not seen his poll?
Come on. It's a good poll.
He's got a good poll.
Good looking poll.
It's a dirty poll, but it's good.
Yeah, good dirty poll. Hey, Ezekiel Elliott, we talked about it yesterday. He was throwing the rumor out there that he might not show up for training camp. He's saying this privately.
And apparently the media as well.
And Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports has put a little more meat on that bone. He sent out a series of tweets yesterday saying that he has not made a firm decision to hold out. So really stance on that one. But he is, quote, absolutely thinking it through and definitely wants an extension in the works. He also said that if the Cowboys aren't proactive about a deal for their running back, this could go sideways fast. He said it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
But this would be an important week. So an important week could go sideways. Yep. Hasn't decided. Might show up, might not show up. He's just telling his friends and also Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. How much are we buying Ezekiel Elliott's threats here?
Zeke, who'd you tell? I just told my friends and like 9 media members.
Texted Mike Florio, no big deal.
Look, I said this with Le'Veon Bell and I couldn't have been more wrong. I'm not going to give up on this. We are talking about millions upon millions of dollars that these guys risk losing by holding out.
He's got 2 years left on his deal too. Like, this isn't even a dude who doesn't want to tag or has one more year. Like, Melvin Gordon at least has one more year. Zeke's got 2 more years on his deal.
I will not buy that Zeke's actually going to miss any significant time until he actually does it. He just does not strike me as a consistent, smart individual on that level of, if I hold out, they're not going to, they're going to bend at my will and they're going to give me my contract. I'm sorry. He just doesn't strike me as that dude. And I'm basing this solely off what I've seen with off the field issues. You've been warned like 9 times to stop being an idiot off the field and you're still going looking drunkenly for your girlfriend at a club rave and getting in fights with security guards. What are we doing here? So until I actually see him do it, I will not buy that he will miss significant time. Does he miss a day or two of camp? Sure. And then Jarrah or Steven gets on the phone and tells him, hey, come to camp. Give us a great year. We're going to pay you. And he's right back in after like 3 days of camp.
So you don't think it can go sideways? You're not buying the report that if there's no proactive talk on Dallas' side?
I think it can definitely go sideways.
To what point? To the point where he skips an entire year.
Sideways to me means Le'Veon Bell.
He demands a trade. Because essentially, if you're saying, if you're not going to negotiate with me and this is going to go sideways, you're essentially saying I want out.
I think Zeke's volatile enough where if he thinks that they've turned their back or let him down or reneged on something they told him, he'll dig his feet in and that's it.
Yeah, Stephen Jones, by the way, in May, it should be noted, he said, quote, we certainly have a couple of years there with Zeke to get it done. So that was that was in May, so maybe he's singing a different tune now, but he said we have a couple of years to get it done. We want to get it done, but we have a couple of years. Because, again, he's got 2 years left on his deal.
I'm going to throw this at you, and you let me know what you think.
Okay.
We are coming off of an unprecedented NBA free agency period.
That we are.
Crazy trades.
Yes.
People just going, what? That guy got how much? This guy's going to what team?
Nonstop.
What would happen? How would NFL teams, ownership groups, etc., how would they react if stars like Zeke and Melvin Gordon and maybe a quarterback and receivers, what if these all started just going, I watch ESPN all the time. Paul George had 3 years left, and he said, I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me. Anthony Davis, 2 years left. I don't want to be here anymore. Trade me. It works. What would NFL teams do?
The interesting part about that is I feel like in NFL trades, you never get the value you would get in an NBA trade.
Do you feel like you get true value in the NBA, though?
Well, like if you think of the Thunder's case for Paul George, like they have like a decade's worth of first round picks and they got a young player and a scorer in return.
What if the Clippers go for 6 years and they win four titles?
No, I'm not saying it's equal
to value.
I'm not saying it's equal to what Paul George was, but they got a lot back. Like, you see a lot of times with these NFL trades, like, a good player will go for a third-round pick.
Well, but hold on. What did the Rams give up to move up to get Goff? And what did the Eagles give up
to get
Wentz, right? They gave up like, four picks.
They did, yeah. You see that on draft night. You will.
I know not every team wants to pay certain positions big money, and I get that. But there are a handful of teams that would gladly go, Melvin Gordon? Boy, he put some butts in the seats, and we might even be a good playoff team. And when you get in the playoffs in the NFL, you never know. Here's two third-round picks, a second-round pick, and this player. That's a good haul for an NFL team.
The interesting part, though, because I'm with you, like, that would be fun to watch that happen in the NFL a little bit if these guys, like, instead of having to deal with them being pissed about not getting a contract, just say, trade me and then trade them. Like, that's the way the NBA works. Like, we heard nothing about the Paul George stuff until it happened. Mm-hmm. It was all behind the scenes. There wasn't a week's worth of rumors. It was just, boom, bum, he got traded. Everybody's like, holy smokes. I feel like NFL teams, though, will go the exact opposite way of NBA teams.
And I'm probably with you there. Because
like the Cowboys will say, screw you. Yeah. Yeah. Don't show up. We don't care.
NFL teams are much tougher. Yeah. Whereas like NBA teams are like, oh, well, you know what? Okay.
Right. And I've still wondered that about OKC.
Here.
Like, I've wondered that the whole time. Like, they could have told Paul George no.
But they were in the luxury tax by a lot.
Sure. And so, which kind of makes you think that they wanted to do it anyways. Like, we need to restart this thing. But they could. He has 3 years left on his deal. Say, screw you, dude. You're showing up and playing for us.
Doesn't work for the argument. But if they had won a championship or got to the finals in OKC, and he still somehow was talked into leaving to join Kawhi.
Yep.
I don't think Sam Presti's making that move.
Yeah, like, no, man, you just signed an extension last summer. We're
even for those
you.
Picks, I think he's going, yeah. What? We just got to the finals. Right. You have 3 years left, bud. You're hanging out.
Yeah, right. It'll be interesting to watch because you got a couple of these now. We've reached that time where, you know, these holdouts start to happen. And as we've brought up a number of times and you mentioned, like, I don't think anybody, and I know I didn't, think that Le'Veon Bell would do it for the entire year. Like, we all were kind of under the impression Le'Veon Bell, first it was training camp, then it was the preseason. Then it was the first couple of weeks. And even when you read and hear interviews from him, he didn't intend on sitting out the whole year. It's one of those things that just kind of happened that way. Like, he was always intending to come back. I think the deadline's in, what, week 8 or week 9, whatever, if you want to come get a chunk of your money and you could play the rest of the year. He intended to do that, and it just never ended up doing it.
Talking about Le'Veon?
Le'Veon last year,
well,
yeah.
Somebody said just happened with OBJ. I think the Giants moved on OBJ on their own, whereas it did just happen Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Said, get me the hell out of here.
And they traded him. That's true.
Went to Oakland.
Yeah, he didn't want to be there anymore. And
but
you've
see,
had guys
he demanded it, and it happened.
That's true. That's true. And they got a decent return. And you've seen it, too, with guys getting reworked deals, too. Like Julio Jones did this last year.
Yeah.
He said, I want a restructured deal. And they gave it to him.
Because some positions, they just don't want to commit. And if you're not a quarterback, I think they're always willing to listen.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe your left tackle to protect your quarterback.
Right. We'll give you all the money you want there. So Zeke is apparently telling folks in private, privately telling people that he might not show up for training camp in a couple of weeks. And Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports is reporting that if the Cowboys are not proactive about a deal this week, it could go sideways. He said, this is an important week. So we'll see if there's any action there on Zeke. We got a couple of notes on the ACC network coming up next. We got to answer the poll questions, and the Dirty Poll makes its mighty return next on The Fan. By the way, I heard the new Men in Black movie was like one of the worst of all time. Did anybody out there go see it?
I know you think I did. I didn't.
Yeah, I know. You would have said if you did. You usually tell me what movies you see.
I'm into bad movies, but they have to be a certain type of bad movie, like Fast and Furious, for example,
sure.
Right?
There's an entertainment value there. It could be a bad movie, but it's an entertaining movie.
Well, and it's just a series from the original. This was like they're trying to pick it up and make it a series and go, oh, yeah, that one guy who once wore the suit without saying Will Smith's name.
Right.
I don't like the remakes. I don't like the let's visit the storyline again. Why?
Yeah.
Who's going to watch The Lion King? And look, The Lion King's getting in. Parents are going to text him like, The Lion King was actually really good. I thought it was really good. But like, why did we need it? The lines are the same. The songs are the same.
Yeah.
I saw a thing today at the gym where
they were some better graphics. That's all.
Well, yeah, it's like real live motion type stuff. I saw a thing at the gym where they're showing behind the scenes, and they showed Childish Gambino, who did Simba's voice, Beyonce, Seth Rogen. Oh, cool. They made James Earl Jones redo his lines. Why couldn't you just steal it from the cartoon? Put it in this one.
See, at least he's in the movie. I was worried he wasn't going to be in it.
No, he's still Mufasa, but okay. It's the same script.
Yeah, it's the same, exactly the same movie.
And if you text in and tell me, Sprague, actually, at Pride Rock, they said this, not that. Come on. It's the same movie.
You know who had that take was Andrew Yang. Remember Andrew Yang?
No.
He's the guy who's running for president. He wants to give everybody $1,000 a month.
He also is running on the platform of getting rid of...
circumcision.
Circumcision. It's like one of his big things. And I was like, what?
He went on a tweet rant the other day about remakes, about how we don't have any new movies anymore.
Like, he's not wrong.
He's like, hey, good campaign stands here, man.
That's... Yeah. We need to be supporting movies that come out. And even if it's like mild interest, we should be supporting those movies because you don't get real original movies as much anymore.
Because you know everybody's going to go see The Lion King in theaters. It's going to make a... When does it open? This weekend, I think. I think it comes out Friday. The 19th,
came out last weekend.
No, I think it comes out the 19th. I remember seeing that date for some reason on TV, but
well,
I might be
wrong. It going to beat this box office number? $968 million.
What did that?
The original friggin' Lion King.
It did that much money?
Yes.
Wow. I could see that.
You think it's going to be a $1 billion movie?
Well, after I found out how serious the Beehive is that what they call them?
The Beehive.
After I found out how serious the Beehive is, there's a possibility.
Well, I'm spraying bug spray on the Beehive.
Because they're all just going to go see for it.
The Aladdin one didn't do as well. Like, they made some money on it, but it wasn't like this smashing $1 billion success.
Because I think everybody saw the trailer with a blue Will Smith and kind of thought, what?
Yeah, that's probably true.
That killed it a little bit.
The Jungle Book, I remember the Jungle Book did good, but it wasn't like...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not breaking records with this stuff.
Somebody said, new Men in Black wasn't awful, just was bland. Mm. So that's what somebody said.
It's got a Hemsworth in it, though.
It does, yeah. It's got a Hemsworth in it. He said he had good chemistry with her, apparently.
They have good chemistry in Thor and...
Yeah.
Avengers, like they've been in movies together.
Yeah.
Is Hemsworth on the Rock level? Like, did people hate Chris Hemsworth? Or is he a universally liked guy?
To be honest with you, I don't have an opinion at all of Chris Hemsworth.
Really?
Because I don't know if I've ever seen a movie with him in it.
See, if you never watched Thor, you wouldn't be like, I like this guy.
I've never seen any of the superhero movies. So I don't, is he in any like normal movies? Other than the Men in Black, which I haven't seen?
Just came out, and it's out now on DVD / on demand. The El Casino, what is the name of that movie?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
The hotel, it's raining.
Yeah, and the Big Lebowski's in it.
It's kind of like a mystery, what's going on.
He's in that. I didn't see that.
It's supposed to be good. Yeah. He's in, he was in the remake of the National Lampoon's, remember? He was dating his sister. And he was wearing underwear, and he had huge... You remember this?
No.
Did you see the new National
I did not
Lampoons?
See the new
With Ed Helms?
I did not see that one. Was it good?
No, it was terrible.
The new Vacation movie?
Yeah, it's what led me to the opinion of, can we stop remaking these movies?
A Bad Time at the El Royale.
Yes, that's that movie.
And I actually thought that trailer looked good, but no, I never saw it. So.
Well, it's out right now. You can watch it.
There you go. I might try and watch it. Okay, there you go. Hot movie talk. Men in Black theme song got me thinking of that. Okay, are we ready for this? Are you ready? Are the people ready? Are they ready for this jelly?
You dropping it like it's hot? What's going on?
The dirty poll's back.
Oh, yeah, the dirty poll.
The dirty poll's back.
Mm.
Okay, so we have a lot of responses on this. People are fired up about this. So again, if you're just joining us, the idea is, I stole this from an Omaha radio station. Our buddies out in Omaha do this, where they come up with their own top 25, and then they interview somebody from that place, a reporter, somebody who covers a team, and they give a season preview. So they do it 25 days leading out. And just to get your football pants a little excited, starting on Monday, we're 25 shows away from college football season beginning.
That's awesome.
We have 25 shows starting on Monday. So this would technically start next week. So
you may have a random team, and Dirt will name them, but it might be like the 20th team on your poll.
Sure. Next week's going to be a little, there's a few randoms in there next week.
But I'm saying the listeners that go, why am I listening about Iowa?
Yeah.
I don't care. Hey, it's the countdown clock.
It's the countdown.
So hear Iowa and don't go, why do I care? Go, oh, we're 20 away.
Exactly. Okay, so here, I'll rattle through it real quick. This is what I came up with, 1 through 25, okay? And I looked at a couple of different preseason polls. I used Feel Steals magazine at length, looking at returning starters.
Feel Steals
magazine, okay? I dove into this thing. Really, the top four are no-brainers. You go Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, right? I mean, that's basically everybody's playoff. It's the unanimous top four in the country this year. From there, here we go. Ohio State, Texas, Notre Dame, LSU, Washington, which was controversial to some, Oklahoma, Utah, Florida, Oregon number 13, Auburn number 14, did that. I thought it'd be fun to do them back-to-back days. Texas A&M 15, Nebraska 16, Michigan State, Mississippi State, Penn State, Iowa State, run of states there, TCU, Iowa, Washington State, Missouri, Stanford.
Okay.
So next week, conceivably, if we start this and we follow through with it, our guests will be starting on Monday, Stanford, Missouri, Washington State, Iowa, and TCU.
Well, at least we got a Pac-12 and two Pac-12s.
Well, and that
in
was
there.
My thing. Like, somebody responded, you have too many Pac-12 teams in there. It's like, dude, I mean, really, we're cutting hairs here over, like, Syracuse or Stanford.
Yeah, no, like it's
give me
not
Stanford.
The only thing I will notice, they're all Power 5 schools.
Yeah, yeah, I have no non-Power 5s, yeah.
No group of 5.
I did not put UCF in there.
No UCF, no Boise State.
Nope.
Nope.
Where's South Carolina? Is South Carolina close for you? Like, would they be a fringe
South Carolina
poll?
Was close. We've had a few people chime in. USC, how are they not in there? But
it's Clay Helton. I don't blame you.
There's a prove it factor there a little bit for me.
You want to volunteer any other teams in that top 25?
Tennessee, no. Off of a 5-win season, I'm not going to throw them in there.
Well, that's not like, is there some team? There's a team on that list that had 5 wins last year.
Nebraska only had 4, I believe, actually. I think Nebraska was 4-8 last year, but the quarterback missed half the season.
So your team can jump in. My team can. Okay.
So the response is, we threw this out on Twitter. We have a Duck fan saying Washington is not a top 10 team. Somebody said I would put Boise State in ahead of Washington State. There was a big debate that started because of James Dockery of how is Washington State ranked ahead of Stanford, even though I believe Washington State has beaten Stanford 3 straight years, right?
Yeah.
I think, if I'm
yeah,
not mistaken
3 straight years, yeah.
So, yeah, OU top 4. Somebody said Texas should be in the mid-20s. Central Florida should be in there.
I'm afraid of what it might be, but my opinion is I think Texas is actually going to be really stinking good.
I'm kind of buying the hype on Texas this year.
And I'm getting nervous they're going to win the Big 12. And let me tell you why I'm getting nervous. Not because I hate Texas. I don't.
Okay.
I just happen to know a lot of people my freaking life that love and went to Texas, yeah, and I'm never going to hear the end of it.
They're going
to
be back.
It's going to be at work, yeah, with our boss. It's going to be at home with some cousins and some friends of mine. It's going to be randomly on the road. I'm going to see a Texas sticker on somebody's car. Some guy at a downtown bar is going to randomly on a Saturday go, hook them!
Hook them horns!
Hook them horns!
Hook them horns!
I can feel it in 2019, Texas just having this resurgence.
I'm scared about it, man. But I am buying the hype, unfortunately.
Yeah, where's OK State?
I did not put OK State on there.
Ooh, that's because the mullet's going to lose week one.
Exactly. He's done. Can't win in Corvallis. So, yeah, we're going to try and do this. I thought it'd be fun. So your weeks, you'd have 5. So next week, I know it's kind of random, but you get 2 Pac-12 schools. Week after that, you get Iowa State, Penn State, Mississippi State, Michigan State, Nebraska, get A&M, Auburn, Oregon, Florida, Utah. Then you get Oklahoma, Washington, LSU, Notre Dame, and Texas. And then the last week before the season starts, Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson.
It's Tuesday. I want to ask you this real quick.
Okay.
When you counted down the days to the first game.
Yes.
You just counted all the days.
I counted the weekdays.
Okay, you didn't take the weekends into account here.
No, it was just for shows. I just counted for shows.
Okay,
We're not 25 days away
just
on Monday
sure.
from football.
I
we're
know.
25 shows away.
Just making sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did that. I'll double check my math, though. Random question. Who will have the better season this year, win-loss-wise? 63% of you say Nebraska over Tennessee. That's one we're going to track all year. And then how good will Oklahoma be this year if Jalen Hurts is their starting quarterback? 61% of you say they contend for the Big 12 title. 23% think they go to the playoffs. Woo! Good luck with that. There you go. Good little show today. If you missed any of it, Let's Drop Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan. Oh.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.